In celebration of the Epiphany of our Lord, would the congregation please stand for the processional hymn? Ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you. for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
by the leading of a star, you made known your only begotten Son to the Gentiles. Lead us who know you by faith to enjoy in heaven the fullness of your divine presence. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for the Epiphany of our Lord is from Isaiah chapter 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried on the hip. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and exult, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. Gospel according to St. Matthew, the second chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them, until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
Christ. Receive now as the hymn of the day is sung. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God is loving. God is patient. God is powerful. God is everywhere. God knows everything. God is the brilliant mastermind of all of creation. So there are certain characteristics about God that we can know naturally. But God is infinitely more vast than we can possibly comprehend. For everything else that God wants us to know about Him, He must reveal to us. Our finite, limited minds cannot even begin to house the full understanding of God. Thankfully, God keeps what we need to know about Him and about His love for us to a minimum so that we can know of God and survive. That gives a different perspective and understanding to that biblical idea that no one can see God and expect to survive. No one can grasp the fullness of the living God and live. Even so, we as mortals, as human beings, the pinnacles of God's creatures, feel superior to God. In our sinfulness, our humanity, we judge God according to our understanding and our standards for allowing evil in the world to continue, for evil to impact our own lives and the lives of those around us, for evil to steal away our livelihoods, our jobs, our friends, our health, our loved ones. Why God allows these things to happen, we cannot know. But what we do need to know, God reveals to us. And so there is, or at least should be, great peace in knowing that if God has not made known to us a reason for His actions, then we must not need to know. And so the frailty of man's thinking and our assumption that we know what is best is on display quite regularly throughout the entirety of the Scriptures, and most especially at the beginning of the Gospel of St. Matthew. When Joseph found out that his betrothed Mary was pregnant, without his involvement, Joseph concluded what he thought was best. He would divorce Mary quietly, and hopefully start over with someone else. But behold, adieu. In the Greek, one of Matthew's favorite words, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and explained to him what God was busy doing. Joseph was then obedient to God's word provided to him through the angel, and he took Mary home as his wife. Without that intervention of God Himself, Joseph would have divorced Mary, and left Jesus without an earthly father to protect him. Joseph's action would have been understandable in the eyes of all around him, but God's revelation was truly unexpected. Matthew continues on that theme of surprising his audience with the text from today's gospel reading for the Epiphany of our Lord. Behold, adieu, look again, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? Now, what would Matthew's original audience make of this revelation?
Matthew here uses the Greek word magoi, which gets translated for us most often in English as wise men. But the word magoi also appears in the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament, which is known as the Septuagint. Magoi is used in Daniel chapter 2 to reference men who are present in Nebuchadnezzar's court in order to help him understand the dreams that he has had. But from that account, as it is made clear, the magi there are far from wise. They have no success whatsoever in understanding or interpreting to the king about his dream. So when Matthew's audience hears of magi coming from the east, they would be underwhelmed. Why would these guys appear in Matthew's account of the birth of Jesus? What do they have to do at all with the coming of the Christ? The Magi repeatedly reveal their lack of wisdom. They saw a star appear in the western sky for them, and they travel on to Jerusalem and begin asking around the town about this newborn king of the Jews. They seem to have no knowledge whatsoever of King Herod's true nature, his paranoia about anyone else who might be king instead of him. And so instead, the Magi start asking their questions and draw attention openly to this potential threat. Herod goes and gleans from his own advisors that such a king of the Jews would be born in Bethlehem, as prophesied by Micah. With a solid location now known, Herod needed a timeline for these events. He called the Magi to him secretly and gathered more information from them about the time when the star had first appeared. Such an inquiry by King Herod never seemed to appear to be strange in the minds of the Magi. They willingly gave him the information, the intel that he sought. And with an age range now in mind for the new king secured, Herod sent the Magi on to the prophesied Bethlehem. He also instructed them to return back to him so as to let him know exactly where this new king was, so that he too may go and worship him, just like the Magi. And not knowing that the baby Jesus was only there in Bethlehem for a short amount of time, the Magi headed on toward that little town. But there is Matthew's word again. Idu, behold, look, pay attention, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. The Magi were overly excited to see this star reappear to them, and they followed it to the exact location of the child Jesus. And there they found him. Jesus, in a house with his mother, Mary. There they offered him their gifts, the treasures that they had brought, this boy, king, gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. Common gifts for any type of royalty. With that mission of theirs now accomplished, the Magi would have gone back to Herod, given him the information that he desired, had it not been for another intervention and revelation from God. In a dream, the Magi were warned not to go back to Herod, so they departed to their home country by another route. Now, Matthew's initial audience would have been stunned by the lack of wisdom displayed by these Magi again and again. But even more so, as Matthew so intended, his audience would have been mesmerized by the constant revelation of God. to protect his beloved Son, the Savior of all the world. Man, without the wisdom of God, would surely fall and fail in every venture, as is clearly seen in the account of the Magi. Yet God worked through them to fulfill the scriptures. Because of the Magi, Herod would decree that all the baby boys under his jurisdiction must be killed. That, of course, sent Joseph with Mary and Jesus off to the protection of Egypt by God's decree to Joseph. Also that Hosea chapter 11 could be fulfilled. Out of Egypt I have called my son. The birth of Christ reveals the actual incarnation of the Son of God, the Word made flesh. Jesus' perfect obedience throughout his life to the Father reveals God's desire for all the world, for every person to be saved through the very righteousness of Jesus. Through his own powerful miracles, Jesus reveals his nature as God in the flesh. Through the very baptism of the Lord Jesus, God reveals that Jesus is his beloved Son, that he is the anointed one, the Christ, as the Holy Spirit descends on him like a dove. Revelation after revelation is made known throughout the entirety of the Scripture, and that is the focal point for the whole of this season. It is what the epiphany of our Lord truly means, the manifestation, the revelation of Jesus. With the visit of the Magi and the constant hand of God guiding them all the way, God there reveals his desire to help and to save all people, Jew and Gentile alike. As Paul so brilliantly marks in his letter to the Ephesians, our epistle text for tonight. And so now is the time for the revelation of God, of his grace and of his favor. That God does reveal the gift of salvation to us is his true love, his grace to us. Christ Jesus, Lord and Savior, has been made known to us through the gospel, and his claim on us as his own dear people has been achieved and revealed in the waters of holy baptism. And Jesus' constant attention and care for you as his people is manifested in his supper, as he feeds you with his own holy body and his own precious blood. Grace of God in Christ Jesus cannot be known naturally. It must be revealed, manifested from on high. And that is what God does through the gift of the gospel. Behold, look, adieu. God has revealed to Magi from the east the birth of Jesus, the Christ. Behold, God has revealed to you this day the same truth, the birth of Jesus as the Christ, as well as his saving work for you and your salvation, forgiveness of all your sin, everlasting life, salvation from sin, death, and the devil. That is revealed, it is delivered, and it is manifested in Christ Jesus our Lord. To him belongs all praise, all glory, all honor as we live now in the time of his glorious revelation, what this Epiphany season is all about. Amen. The peace that does pass all of our human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. We stand together to confess the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray now for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O God, you have made yourself known to all nations in the person of your Son. Grant us a right knowledge of him, that we would abandon the darkness of this world and embrace the joy of his heavenly light. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, you have appointed pastors to make known the mystery of your grace. Grant them the boldness of St. Paul to speak what you have revealed to them in your word, that we would worthily partake of all your gifts. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, you sent your Son as the Savior of the world, that all the families of the nations might worship before you. Bless the families of this congregation with your grace and your protection, that they might remember you in both joy and trouble, and worship before you forevermore. Lord, in your mercy. Enlighten, O Lord, the rulers of this world by the proclamation of your wisdom, which casts down the proud and raises up the lowly. Work peace and justice in our land, and give free course to your blessed gospel. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Almighty God, you have made us fellow heirs of the unsearchable riches of Christ. Remember all those who are afflicted and in need of deliverance, especially those we name now before you in our hearts. Hear their prayers, provide help and deliverance according to your will, and preserve them in the faith until that day when their eternal healing is fully revealed. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you brought the Magi of old to worship your Son, Jesus, and so you have brought us to worship him also. Receive our gifts and give us Jesus in his body and blood, that we may return to you according to your holy way. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, as your Son was once found in the arms of the Virgin Mary, so now is he found in your holy Christian church. Cause your word to abide richly among us, that many would be led to Christ through our confession of him and the faith that he has authored and perfected. Lord, in your mercy. All these needs, gracious Father, and whatever else you know that we need, grant for the sake of him who shattered this world's darkness with his everlasting light, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You
You may be seated now as the tithes and offerings are collected. Truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him, being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me."
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
We stand to sing the Nunc Dimittis. Fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament, and we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
We remain standing as the recessional hymn is sung.
Thank you.